Back into open session. Mr. Crawford, would you please listen to pledge? Okay, I'd like to introduce our new student representative to the board, Yasmin Munoz from Lyndhurst High School. Would you like to do your school reports now?
Yeah. Hello, my name is Yasmin Munoz, and I am from Lyndhurst High School. For our Senate, we are having our first meeting on Wednesday, September 4th, during our first period. President's Council, we will also have our first meeting Friday, August 30th, with all our clubs around campus. Some of the past events are school activities and popsicle welcome. And basically, the first day of school, what we did is we gave out popsicles during lunch to all school as we welcome back. And we also had a welcome back just last Friday, August 23rd. And today we had picture day. Some of our upcoming events are back to school night, which is tomorrow night, August 28th, freshman elections. We're having Club Rush on Wednesday, September 11th, during our lunch. Fun Friday activities at lunch in the quad, September 20th. And senior cap and gown and announcement info meeting on Thursday, September 26th. And we're going to show a video of some of the things that are going around school. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Yasmin. Okay, instead of doing our recognitions, we're going to do the school report first, and we'll do the recognition second. So, Mr. Cena.
Thank you. 237 years ago, our founding fathers created a democratic republic founded on the principles of liberty, justice, and equality. To protect these principles and protect these institutions, our forefathers created public education. Fast forward 100 years later, different economic times during the industrialized period, our forefathers create public high schools. Marysville High School was one of the first three public high schools established in California in 1871 as a feeder school to UC Berkeley. UC Berkeley was the first public university established west of the Mississippi in 1868. Marysville High School was founded on the principles of truth, tolerance, and liberty. We fast forward another 100 years, Marysville High today, we have a purpose. Our purpose is that all students become respectful, responsible, and healthy citizens. All students become competent workers, and all students become effective intrapersonal and interpersonal communicators and problem solvers. To achieve this purpose, we have a mission. Our mission is where attention goes, energy flows, and results show. Where does attention go? It goes to three places. Number one, academic achievement. Number two, quality instruction. Number three, personalization of learning. Our colors are orange and black, the color of the harvest moon. Not the tilling of the soil, not the planting of the seed, but the harvest, the results. We strive to be a results, data-driven school. On our west wall, we have a saying, many paths, one journey. The ultimate purpose is for students to learn and grow and to use their high school years to discover their path. Our job is to facilitate that path. You have before you our annual WASC report, school report. This year we're gonna summarize it before getting into a particular program. But looking at the results, first of all, with WASC, we have our three goals there on page one, our instructional goal, school to career, and technology. On page two, the most significant shift since the last WASC visit 6 years ago, we are for our full study this year. We're preparing that, and we'll have a visitation at the end of this year, is the free and reduced lunch. The free and reduced lunch has increased since 2003 from 40% up to now 68%. WASC looks at what are significant shifts in demographics. In terms of results, academic results, those are released publicly, I think, Thursday. But just looking at the raw data, we can see that, quite frankly, standing here before you, being accountable, that we look to see that our API may have dropped a few points. At the same time, our AYP, our levels of proficiency in English and in math, have increased. And particular areas such as Algebra 2, we have more students taking Algebra 2 than ever before. We're going to honor one of our teachers tonight who's integral in that. And also our English 9, we have two teachers here tonight that are presenting that just happened to also have helped us lift our highest scores there. So a key concern that you have, so we anticipate we'll be in our fourth year of program improvement. And as the board, I think the central question to us would be, what are you doing to improve? Before we say what we're doing to improve, two other key things that jump out in results. One is our graduation rate, which is above 95% for the last 6 years in a row, which is good. That's very strong. And our dropout rate is 2.2, which is very low. So those numbers are going in the right directions. As far as this year, what are we doing to improve, to help students learn and grow, to help students discover their path? I've been involved in Marysville High School in some form for about 40 years, and rarely have I seen so much positive energy and optimism with the year starting, and a big part of that is our PBIS team. I'm going to ask the two ninth graders, teachers that I was telling you about, Mandy Eshman and Amy Eggleston Acosta, who are here to present a program. This is a research-based program from the University of Oregon, and it's called PBIS. And they'll tell you what that means. Thank you.
Hello. Okay, so wait just a second. Oh, there it is. All right, so one of our teachers at Marysville High School, along with her students, created this graphic for us. And I'll go over kind of what it all means in just a minute. But PBIS, basically, we come together as a school and form goals. And so this is a poster that's hung up all over our school. That we have three foundational expectations that all Indians are respectful, responsible, and healthy. PBIS, positive behaviors, interventions, and supports. That's what it stands for. And here are just a quick little overview. School-wide PBIS is a systems approach for establishing the social culture and individualized behavioral supports needed for schools to be effective learning environments for all students. And that's from the University of Oregon that Mr. Cena alluded to. Features of PBIS. So this is what it is in a nutshell, a very brief nutshell. It's prevention, first of all, making sure that our students are getting the best possible care, first and foremost, so they don't have a problem. Next is defining and teaching positive social expectations, not necessarily harping them on everything that they do wrong. Acknowledging that positive behavior, and I'll go into that in just a minute. Arrange consistent consequences for that problem behavior, so all the staff is on the exact same page at the exact same time. Ongoing collection and use of data for decision making. and a continuum of intensive individual interventions. So that's just a little bit about that. And then administrative leadership. It's a team-based implementation. So me, Amy, we have Chor, who's also coming, and then we have a social science teacher, Steve White, and a science teacher, Michelle Woodward, and then our ROP, graphic communications teacher, as well as classified staff and parents on our team. This is the three stages because it's not just one stage. Right now we're in what's called Tier 1, which is the primary prevention, and that is for all students, so that's all the positive. Next year, after we kind of get assessed, we take 15%, maybe that's kind of what they gauge, that there's probably 15% that need a little more specialized attention. And then the third year, they kind of suggest that there's probably about 5% that need really, really intensive because there are high-risk behavior kids. All right, so I'm going to let Amy kind of talk about the forms that we use.
Okay, so we have our Indian expectations.
They're coming.
So the first day of school, all of our first period classes taught lessons about how to be respectful, responsible, and healthy, and all students were given this handout to have, and this kind of summarizes how we want them to be respectful, responsible, and healthy in their classes, and we're doing this across the board, all classes. We've also developed a discipline referral chart, and this shows you the four levels of our discipline policy, adapted from what we were already doing, but fitting it in with the PBIS work and looking at what we're going to do, what a level one is, what a level two is, three, and four. So everybody, all of our teachers, all of our staff are consistent. And then this is our discipline matrix that shows what we're going to do in the case of different situations happening, how we're going to address it so everybody is consistent. And finally, this is our referral form that we revamped to fit with the PBIS thing because we have to enter data into a program called SWIS, and we have to have things like possible motivations. This is a way we can document and look at what is causing the behavior, not just it's a bad behavior, but what's causing it, and that way we can get to the point of it and try to help these students be more successful, because that's our goal, is for all students to be successful.
All right, so we, in an effort to recognize positive behavior for being respectful, responsible, and healthy, we've created what are called wampum cards, which we had a long time ago, and they made their way back. Basically, what happens is if a teacher or staff member notices a student being respectful, responsible, or healthy, they give them this card, and the student then goes and turns it in, and they have an opportunity to win some different prizes. So it's an incentive to kind of get them to do the right thing while at the same time recognizing when they do. So saying thank you for holding the door open, or thank you for picking up your trash, or thank you for listening when I was asking you to, things like that that we want all of our students to know. And so we have different drawings, and these are just some of the things that we have, and Mr. Sina will kind of talk about it later, but we had almost all of our teachers sign up to sponsor a lunch for a student, so to buy them lunch as a prize, because we polled our kids, and they said that the only thing they really wanted was food, so we're going to buy them lunch. And then T-shirts and other items from our student store, and then when we have our big drawings at the semester, we are going to be purchasing iPads and iPods, just a few for those kids. So that's pretty exciting. And then finally, one of the biggest ways that we're trying to get our kids motivated and excited about this is our students. And our ROP teacher made this really great video. We actually have four of them to show the kids how to act responsible, respectful, and healthy at school. So this is just a little clip of what every student at Marysville High School has seen. We'll be right back. So that's one, just a little snippet. It's about 6 minutes long, and then we have one for different areas of our school. So this one was overall, and then we have one for our restrooms, one for our hallways, one for our cafeteria, and one for the locker room. And then we're in the process of making more for next year. So that is PBIS in a nutshell.
Thank you for having us here tonight. It's a privilege to be at Marysville High School. One of the great things about this PBIS program is, as the person that's in charge of discipline at the school, that heads it, you know, I don't do the job alone, but the buy-in by the staff, the students, and the parents has been great. SWIS stands for School-Wide Information System. And for me, that's a great thing because it gives me an opportunity to look at data that we collect from discipline referrals that you saw. We're able to track behavior and address it. And the best part for me is the consistency. That's throughout the teaching staff. You know, when they send a referral, we understand why they're sending it, and we're able to address that situation appropriately. We find out who got referred, who gave the referral. We know where it happened. We know when it happened. We're able to make there's a requirement that the teachers make contact with the parents. And like I said, we're able to get graphs and charts and be able to address it appropriately and deal with these things. And we truly do want this to be a school where we have students and staff that are respectful, responsible, and healthy.
Addressing the question, okay, what are we doing to help students improve learning and discover their path? There's another positive program that has been initiated this year. Again, Ms. Deschman and Mrs. Michelle Hendricks, our activities director, started this program that tonight our student body president, Casey Weaver, and also our soon-to-be board representative after Yasmin is Holly Tarr. They're here to talk about a mentoring program called iTrainers.
Hello. Transitions program is an optional program for all incoming ninth graders and does not in any way reflect grade or eligibility status with any other academic, recreational, or athletic program on campus. This program is designed to help with belonging, understanding, and support of our new Indians. The sole purpose is to provide a safe and fun opportunity to keep freshmen connected in school by partnering them with trained upperclassmen, also known as iTrainers, who will act as mentors.
Throughout the year, the iTrainers will hold meetings with the 10 to 15 students they were randomly assigned to. These meetings consist of checkups where the iTrainer asks how the student is doing in school. This may refer from an academic standpoint or a social aspect. Either way, we are here for our freshmen. We also collect and or assign a piece of paper that the freshman received in a packet from freshman orientation or Indian Training Day. This is called a landmark. A landmark is just a goal that the participating freshmen are highly advised to complete and return to their iTrainer at the next meeting.
There are also bigger meetings which consist of the entire program meeting as in a designated spot for something called a port. A port is a rewarding period for the remaining freshmen still participating in this program. So far, we have come up with some ideas such as drawings at every port for prizes, along with every freshman receiving some sort of goodie, such as hot chocolate and candy canes at Christmas time.
The theme for our transitions program of 2013-2014 school year is Surviving the Sea of High School, and our slogan is Freshmen are Friends, Not Food. We are very excited for this new and developing program, and we have high expectations for what the program will evolve to. Thank you.
Okay, so what are we doing? This addresses personalization of learning. It really helps with quality instruction because it creates the right instructional environment for everybody. So what are we doing in terms of perhaps more specifically in instruction and academic achievement? Our other assistant principal, Mrs. Siobhan Matthews, is going to share some things that we're doing.
Good evening. One of our goals under WASC and for our students is technology, and you may be aware we are embracing the Google domains. So an update of where we are today, in effort to get our 9th through 12th graders ready for where they're headed, and that could be military, career, college, trade school, or work. We're starting and finishing our lessons on digital citizenship. Our health and careers have addressed the freshmen and working on decision-making and social media. Then the social science department has picked up the 10th through 12th and giving them lessons on cyber safety, social media, and finally 12th grade cyberbullying. And we're trying to work and educate these guys. They are towards the end of their time with us, but work really hard to get them ready for the technology that they're going to face. We're excited about it. The teachers are excited about it. And we had an introduction the week before last, with Brian in our Common Core mapping with Ann Johnson. So between that kind of leads into the curriculum piece is that 30 of our teachers worked with Ann 2 weeks ago to map units that they already have and integrate them through a Common Core theme. So I'm excited. We have some teachers work together to build those units in departments, but we came away with, I feel, 25 solid units within our school in the right direction toward Common Core. So that's another exciting piece for curriculum. And then we're also continuing our work with SCOE in Common Core with Christine Anderson, and specifically related to our career tech people have a piece and a component, and she'll be working with all of our staff, but giving them some special attention this year. And then we're happy to note that our two new advanced placement courses are off and running, and that's in chemistry and English language and composition, and we really appreciate that addition for our higher level students. We really appreciate that a lot. So that's all I have. Thank you.
This being a WASC self-study year, we're going to, throughout the year, we will come to you and help with our self-study. We may submit drafts that we may ask you to read excerpts or read parts of. We'd also like, certainly not this much time, but maybe to come in and give short snippet results of how things are going. And then when the WASC Visiting Committee comes, they may ask to visit with some or all of you. We invite our board and our community to visit our school anytime, any day you choose. We invite you to back to school night. That's tomorrow night. It's Wednesday, August 28th, from 5 to 7. Recology, our PBIS team, Recology will be making a free spaghetti dinner following the classroom visits. We are starting see, Lyndhurst is having theirs tomorrow night, too. We are trying to start right off the bat. That is the eighth day of school, and we are hoping to get as many parents into the classrooms as much as possible. And freshmen aren't food, but people will come out for food, we learned. We invite you to meet our new staff. We invite you to our varsity football opening home game this Friday night against Forest Hill. We hope you notice our attention to detail in terms of the grounds, the hallways, both in terms of traffic and cleanliness, the restrooms, our quality relationship with community partners. By the way, I think 2 years ago we met about youth football. And that seed that we planted, that you planted that night, has blossomed into, and it's really manifested in not only the football program, but the school as a whole and the community. It's really blossomed. As well as our commitment to academic achievement, quality instruction, and personalization of learning, and the general feel of the campus. Where attention goes, energy flows, and results show. That concludes our presentation. And we appreciate you flipping the awards, because the awards tonight have so much a connection to this that it helps understand the awards. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cena. Does anybody have any questions before we step down front? Okay, the board has stepped down front for our recognitions.
I think at this point I don't need to reintroduce Gary Cena, principal of Marysville High School, but here's Gary Cena, principal of Marysville High School.
Mr. Yang, could you come up here? Chor Yang? Chor Yang's every personal and professional action over the past 7 years as a math teacher at Marysville High School has demonstrated that Chor is hyper-committed toward his students' growth, evidenced by his tireless work ethic, his willingness to give up his lunch every Monday to meet with other Algebra 1 teachers, run off an item analysis of the previous week's assessment on EduSoft, and commit to strategies to improve student performance. It's a testament to his purpose. Chor develops substantially effective relationships with students, colleagues, parents, and staff. Chor has been very active with our Asian American Culture Club, serving as the club's advisor. Chor is serving as an integral voice and leader on our school's PBIS leadership team. Chor communicates with parents through ARIES, documented phone contacts, good newsletters home, voicemail, and email. Chor is a consummate team player. It's all testament to his ability to communicate. Chor features a spiraled warm-up consisting of 4 problems strategically selected from analysis of previous assessments and targeted students' needs, which he masterfully conducts direct questioning strategies involving all students and constantly measuring student progress. During guided practice, he has students practice while he moves around the room monitoring their approaches before reteaching the class as a whole, a testament to his teaching strategies. Chor's whole demonstrated approach is driven by learner outcomes. Chor teaches by the mantra to continually identify, intervene, and assess. Chor's commitment to identifying students' needs, providing interventions in class and out of class, and earnestly striving to help students succeed is illustrated by our students' 12-point increase in Algebra 2 in 2012-13. This accomplishment is especially impressive, realizing how many more students take Algebra 2 in recent years than ever before. Thank you, Chor, for helping our schools and our district continue our efforts toward educating today's youth for tomorrow's world. Mr. A, would you stand up? Andre Worry. Mr. A, our campus supervisor the past 5 years, demonstrates a deep sense of purpose, a great capacity for communicating and building strong relationships. By living in East Marysville, he knows many members of the Marysville community, and an outstanding commitment to service and altruism, having coached Marysville Little League, youth basketball, and youth football for years. Mr. A successfully manages to perform his duties and foster student safety on a campus encompassing at least 6 separate entities on a 64-acre lot, including a public street running through the middle of campus. Mr. A attains the rarefied air, simultaneously earning students' highest trust and confidence. Students confide in Mr. A while consistently enforcing school rules. Mr. A is both loved and respected universally by students, staff, parents, and community members for the way he lives his life, treats others, and carries out his responsibilities. Mr. A is a catalyzing agent facilitating students toward discovering their paths. Mr. A, thank you for helping our schools and our district continue our efforts toward educating today's youth for tomorrow's world. Jennifer Johnson, Jenny Johnson. Ever since she graduated, Ever since she graduated from law school, Jennifer Johnson has made contact with Marysville High School, her alma mater, looking for ways to positively influence all students, transform Marysville High School's school culture, and enhance students' personal and professional paths. Marysville High School is honored and thankful that Jennifer Johnson has made a substantial personal donation to Marysville High School, the amount of which has been matched by her employer, Apple Computers, for the purpose of providing incentives and rewarding students practicing positive behaviors. This mechanism is part of the Positive Behavior Intervention and Support, PBIS, school-wide research-based program from the University of Oregon being implemented at Marysville High this year. Jennifer's generous donation provides a strong foundation for a key component of this program, affects every member of the Marysville High School community in an incredibly positive way, and serves as a high-leverage investment toward transforming our school's 2013-14 culture in positive ways. Research demonstrates that approaching solutions in this way intervenes to address student mental health issues and helps students grow academically as a whole. Thank you, Jennifer Johnson, for helping our schools and our district continue our efforts toward educating today's youth for tomorrow's world. Thank you, Jen.
And while she's going down the gauntlet, I must take this opportunity to say that I first met Jenny when she came forward and wanted to, with some friends of hers, give back to the community from which she grew up, which was to help fund backpacks for students who did not have that available to them. From there, I grabbed her, and she is the president of the Marysville Joint Unified School District's Education Foundation, and so she continues her work there to help support our teachers and students through various projects that are funded through our annual Wine and Dine. So thank you, Jenny Johnson. Oh, and that's Jenny's mom right there, too.
Comments from board members, Mr. Miller, Mr. Rex.
In our board packet, we had an article, Why Conservatives Should Support the Common Core, and I've been very interested in this for some time. And reading the article, they mentioned that the evaluation done, the two authors of this article, Catherine Border McGee and Sol Stern, okay, they mentioned what a fantastic program this the Common Core is. The fact that they work for the company that did the evaluation is something else. One of the things that I did, I went on the internet and I brought up the Washington Post, and they have a lot of criticism of the Common Core, so I'm going to urge everybody to look at it because California has adopted this program. And one of the things that they pointed out in the Post was that the federal government, our elite in Washington, have set aside the money, $330 million, so that they will write the evaluation of this program. They will write the testing. And that scares me a lot. So I think everybody should be aware that, as Gary said, there's many paths. There's one journey, many paths. And we shouldn't get into this too deep. They also mentioned in the article that five states have backed out because they have better programs than the Common Core. Well, why didn't they adopt some of those programs? And it would be without federal aid. So anyway, I'm just questioning. I wanted people to be thinking in terms of the long range, not 2013-14, 16-17, your kids and grandkids. I'd hate to think that we take this little bit of money, California does, and it ends up with something that we really don't, or never imagined.
Mr. Fleury.
I got three things. Our BOGA the first day, we had people come in front of us about the parking lot, and so I went by there. Actually, I work in that area some of the time. and went by there, and it's amazing. Over last year, I was there. Last year was called to come and watch, and what a difference this year. And what it shows is when a team gets together, what they can do. The transportation, employees got together. It takes a team approach. I remember I do work in the harvest in the summer, and one of my farmers is 84, and we were standing out there the last day of the season. He said, see all those pickers, and they were working. He said, it takes a team. I'm only as good as these pickers in making money for me, and I treat them with respect just like everybody. And it takes a team approach, and that's what I saw in what they did with Arboga. Secondly, the Pacific Coast producers, Canry, which our secretary is related to one of the high-ups in the Pacific Coast producers, they started a program in the area and giving backpacks, and they gave backpacks to Linda, Oliver's, Kovalot, and Ella. And this Canry is doing this all across the state now at schools that was started right here locally. And they really believe in putting into education. Also, the Linda Lions Club is putting on a talent contest that with $1,000 first prize, in fact, Mr. Nicoletti's involved in that, $500 second and $250. It's going to be two preliminaries and one final held at Yuba College. And lastly, Marysville High School, you really prove what a team can do. And I'll be glad when our budget turns around, we can start putting resources back in our high schools for some of the things that we have lost over the years, because you work very hard, as all of our teachers do, to give a good quality education, and it's up to us to give you the resources to do that. Thank
you. Mr. Harris?
No.
Mr. Danable?
No.
Mr. Crawford?
The schools I visited, it seemed like opening day went really well on all of our schools. I haven't heard any complaints, at least. So, let's have a great school year. Teachers, students, parents, welcome back.
Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association. No. Operating Engineers Local Union Number 3. No. California School Employees Association 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees Supervisory Unit. Public comments. Now, I have several public comment cards here tonight, but they're all related to specific agenda items, so I'm assuming that everybody that filled out a card would like to get up and speak during that agenda item. Is that true of all these cards? Is there anybody that wants to get up during public comments, or would you all like to wait for the specific agenda item? Okay, so I'll wait till we have the specific agenda item. Superintendent's report, Dr. Todd.
Thank you, Mr. Boom. We are off to another great year. We're a week and a half into the 13-14 school year, believe it or not. And although our enrollment is down slightly, about 170 plus or minus, students keep rolling in, so we hope that we will meet our projections for this year. Mr. Fleury is absolutely right that the team that came together to resolve the parking lot issue at Arboga Elementary School covered three different departments, the facilities department, along with transportation. The very next day they went out, they looked at the area, they did some measuring. They actually went out the following day with the biggest bus they have to see if, in fact, they could separate that bus drop-off from the parent drop-off through an area that was rather compact with old gravel. And certainly the help from the maintenance department to pull it off, to get the sidewalk poured, to get the fences up, truly a phenomenal team effort, and the results are that our students are much safer, and I think the parents are very happy. Anytime we can work collaboratively with parents and the community and all of our departments, I think we're all much better off, and the resolution is pretty amazing in a very short period of time. And that's all I have this evening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Todd. We'll move on to approval of minutes. Minutes from the regular board meeting of August 13, 2013. If there are no additions or deletions, is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Crawford, second by Mr. Danable. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Consent agenda. Does anybody want anything pulled on the consent agenda? If not, is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Motion by Mr. Crawford.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Rex. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Okay, under educational services, we have resolution 2013-1405, availability of textbooks and instructional material. We're going to set a public hearing for 9-10 of this month, of this year. So it'd be September 10th, 2013. Okay, purchasing department, resolution 2013-1406. This is a lease purchase of a wide area mower. Does anybody have any questions? Kathy's here in the audience if she needs to come up, if there's any questions for her. If there are no questions, is there a motion? Motion by Mr. Fleury, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Crawford, and all those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. This is under Board of Trustees, resolution 2013-1407, opposing water rate increases proposed by the California Water Services. This is what everybody came for tonight. I have about 8 public comment cards. We'll go through those. They're just in random order, so I'll start with the first one I have on top.
Mr. Boom, we've been requested to allow the California Water Service to do a presentation. Perhaps that might answer some of the questions prior to the comments from
the
audience.
Start with Lee Seidel. Are you the one doing the presentation? Okay. Lee and Justin?
Yes.
Okay.
First off, I'd like to thank Superintendent Todd and the trustees for allowing us to come and make a presentation tonight. I'm Lee Seidel. I'm the district manager for California Water Service Company here in Marysville. I've been in Marysville 25 years. I've been with the company for 39. So I'm quite familiar with many of the people in this room here, and I thank you all for bearing with us as we go through this presentation. Before I get into this presentation, though, there was one item on the consent agenda that I'd like to mention. As a current member of the Rotary Club of Marysville and as a past president, I was very happy to see the memorandum of understanding between the Rotary Club and the Arts Council that will bring the music program back to Kynock. It's a great program, and I'm glad that we were able to move that forward. With me today is Justin Scarb. He's our Community Relations and Government Affairs Manager, and Justin will take us through the presentation.
See if I can make the computer work. And it wasn't my fault. Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, Dr. Todd, thank you, and the rest of the members of the board, thank you for having us here tonight. As Lee said, my name is Justin Scarb. I'm the Governing Community Relations Manager with Cal Water. We're especially thankful to be here tonight so that we can discuss our current general rate case application that is being reviewed by the California Public Utilities Commission and provide you with some facts about that application before you vote on the resolution that's before you tonight. This is actually our third public meeting that we're having on this issue. Previously, we had a rate workshop towards the beginning of the year, which is an event that Cal Water hosts for our customers in Marysville, come to our district office, hear about our operations, hear about the rate case, understand what we're asking for, why we're asking for those things. And then the PUC also earlier this year had a public participation hearing here in Marysville, and that's overseen by an administrative law judge that's overseeing the entire proceeding that we're going through with the California Public Utilities Commission. So this is our third meeting on this issue. Cal Water started providing safe, reliable water service originally in 1926. In California total, we serve about 2 million residents through 500,000 individual service connections, a total of about 100 cities from Chico in the north to the Palos Verdes Peninsula in the south. And I need to find the page down button. There we go. Locally, Cal Water has been the water provider in the city of Marysville since 1930. Cal Water purchased the Marysville Water Company in 1929, took over operations in 1930, making us one of the oldest businesses in the city of Marysville. We have 8 local employees with 96 years of total combined experience. In reality, getting water from the source to the tap is a quite difficult process. As you can see from the information that you've got in front of you in the PowerPoint presentation, it takes a lot of infrastructure. It takes a lot of employees with specialized talent in everything from water system operations to electrical engineering. In Marysville alone, we have 54 miles of pipeline, 318 fire hydrants, 2 storage tanks, booster pumps, etc. Cal Water, as I said before, is regulated by the California Public Utilities Commission. That is an agency that is created by California statutes, oversees all regulated utilities or investor-owned utilities in the state, so Cal Water, PG&E, Southern California Edison, San Diego Gas and Electric. The PUC requires Cal Water to file a general rate case application every 3 years. The general rate case process is the process by which the PUC determines what our water rates should be based on the cost of providing our customers with safe, reliable water service. Their statutory mission is to ensure safe, reliable utility service at the lowest cost possible. We have to file that general rate case every 3 years. That process lasts approximately 18 months. We actually filed our this most current application in July of 2012, so just over a year ago. And I believe that the district should have received the notifications that we sent in the mail about that filing. It consists of several steps, the general rate case process. The first thing that happens is Cal Water reviews its historical costs and reviews the needs of the water system, what infrastructure improvements that need to be made over the next 3 years. We combine all those documents into our application that we submit to the California Public Utilities Commission. This year, our application consisted of about 15,000 pages of justification for the different programs, projects, and infrastructure improvements that we need to make. The next step in the process is the Division of Ratepayer Advocates reviews that application. The Division of Ratepayer Advocates is another branch of the California Public Utilities Commission. Their job is to advocate on behalf of the customers, to make sure that the customers are receiving the best possible service, but at the lowest cost possible. They submit their own report to the administrative law judge that's overseeing the proceeding, recommending what they believe water rates should be over the next 3 years. The next step in that process is that the Public Utilities Commission holds public participation hearings in each one of Cal Water's districts, which I had already spoken about. The administrative law judge at the end of that process then makes a recommendation to the commissioners of the California Public Utilities Commission on what he believes that the rate should be in each one of Cal Water's service areas. The commissioners then vote on that process, or they vote on that recommendation whether to approve it or not. Again, the entire process lasts about approximately 18 months. It's a rigorous audit of not only Cal Water's operations, but also our finances, the rates that we provide to our customers, our customer service, etc. Here in Marysville, the typical residential family that has a 5/8 by 3/4 inch meter, which is about 2/3 of the customers that we serve here in Marysville, uses just over 9,000 gallons of water a month. They have a water bill of $39.36. The rates that we proposed in the general rate case are before you. These rates would go into effect in the year 2014 on January 1st, assuming that they're approved as submitted by the California Public Utilities Commission. They set rates for the next 3 years. All told, the rate increased for a customer on a 5/8 by 3/4 inch meter using 13 CCF, 13 billion units, or that 9,000, just over 9,000 gallons of water. Their current rate would be $39.36. In 2016, that rate would go up to $55.62, or about an increase of 54 cents a day, just over $16 a month. When you think about it, what you're getting for that $55, it's a pretty amazing value. For less than a penny a gallon, Cal Water finds the water, treats the water, stores the water, ships the water to your house. It's safe to drink, and it's there when you need it. It's there when the firefighters need it. It's there when you need it because you're thirsty in the morning, thirsty at night, thirsty when you're giving a presentation to the school board. Compared to other commodities, you can really see the value that a gallon of tap water in the Marysville district has. A gallon of bottled water, about $1.21, milk $3.58, gas $3.89. And the infrastructure that's needed to get that water from the source to the tap is nearly astronomical. In Marysville alone, Cal Water has 54 miles of pipeline under the ground just to make sure that we can get water to people safely and reliably every single day. The question then is, why is Cal Water asking for an increase? You might recognize the words that are on the screen before you. These are from the ballot justification for Measure P. The reason I want to include these is because these words here is because the justification for our rate increase is largely the same as the justification for Measure P. Our facilities are old. They need to be replaced. Our costs have increased over the last several years. We face a more stringent regulatory environment in terms of environmental regulations, employee regulations, etc. Any utility that faces these types of costs have to increase rates, otherwise they become insolvent. The reason we need to increase rates is so that there aren't massive main breaks, to make sure that the system is safe and reliable, to make sure that firefighters have adequate fire protection so they can put out fires if, God forbid, that happens in the city of Marysville, most importantly, to make sure that your water is safe to drink. The largest component, single component of the rate increase that we have proposed to the California Public Utilities Commission has to do with the Marysville Forward Project, the resurfacing of the streets of Highway 70 and 20. Cal Water used to have facilities under those roads. Caltrans came to Cal Water and said, move your facilities. We want to redo those roads in such a way that we're going to dig down deep enough into the road that you've got to move your facilities. We said, we've got a right to be in the road. You're going to pay us. We want you to pay us to move those facilities, because if you don't pay us, then it's going to be borne by the ratepayers in Marysville. That's going to be a substantial impact. The original estimates that we had were about right on, that it was going to be about a $2 million cost to relocate those facilities along Highway 70 and 20. Caltrans obviously said no. They didn't want to pay for that. We litigated that matter. We sued Caltrans, Cal Water did, on behalf of the ratepayers in our Marysville district, and said that we have a prior right to be have our facilities in those roadways. Unfortunately, the court ruled that that our rights to have our facilities in the roadways in Marysville was not being undermined by having to move our facilities to a different location, and ultimately that those costs of that relocation were going to have to be borne by the ratepayers in Marysville. Another large component of the increase has to do with our centralized services. Again, Cal Water serves about 2 million people across the state of California, 100 different cities. We have 25 individual rate-making districts, Chico in the north, the PV Peninsula in the south. Our headquarters is in San Jose. We have a number of our centralized services there. Just like the school district has centralized services for all of their schools, accounting, our water quality department, our engineering department, we centralize those services because it creates economies of scale for us. When those costs increase, it does mean that there's increased costs for each one of the individual districts. Despite the fact that Marysville gets the full benefit of all of our centralized services that we provide, our water quality department to make sure that the water is safe to drink, et cetera, customers in Marysville pay less than 1% for all of those centralized services. Anything that goes on in our general office, from our water quality department to our CEO's salary, is paid for by the Marysville residents at a rate of less than 1%. When we heard that the school district was looking at considering this resolution, we wanted to get an idea of how much water the school district used. I went back and I looked at 2012, which is a little bit distinct from what's in the resolution before you, because if you looked at the fiscal year 2012-2013, I just looked at the calendar year 2012. So these numbers are going to differ a little bit from what you have in your resolution, but the numbers match up if I was to go back and look at the same time period. Over 18 million gallons of water at all the school facilities that are served by Cal Water. Paid $82,000 for that. Almost $83,000 for that. If you do the math, that's less than half a cent per gallon. Still a pretty good value. How does that compare to the entire budget of the school district? It's substantially less than 1%. It's substantially less than half a percent. With the proposed increase, still substantially less than half a percent. Based on the numbers that I looked at, assuming that the consumption in the school district didn't change from 2012 to 2014, which it likely would, up or down, the water bill would be about $110,000 for the calendar year, still substantially less than half a percent of the entire budget. Now, I know that one of the things that was brought up is a comparison of Cal Water's rates versus those of other providers. How much do the people in Linda pay? How much do the people in Oliverhurst pay? How much do the people in Robbins pay? How much do the people in Yuba City pay? It's common for people to do this. They want to know what everybody else has. Is the grass greener on the other side? The problem with this is the same problem that you would have necessarily in comparing the cost between one of your schools and another one of your schools, to say all the schools should have the same costs, regardless of where they're located, regardless of the issues that that school has, regardless of how old the facilities are, regardless of the tenure of the teachers there, regardless of the number of students that are at that school. There's not a possibility that you would say that those things, all costs in every school, should be the same, because there are factors that differ from school to school. The same is true from water system to water system. Even if it's a 5-minute drive across a bridge, there are substantial differences between water systems that make it incredibly difficult, if not impossible, to compare water rates in one area versus the water rates in another area. For example, most of Cal Water's charges are contained in our monthly service charge, which is a standard charge that every customer pays based on, regardless of the amount of water that they use, and then also a quantity charge, which is variable based on the amount of water that they use every month. For a customer that has a 5/8 inch meter, which is our small size meter, but that's what the majority of our metered customers in Marysville have, they have a monthly service charge currently of $19.93. Their quantity charge, we have a tiered system, meaning that the more water you use, the more expensive it becomes to use that water. That's a conservation measure that's imposed upon us by the California Public Utilities Commission. There's two different tiers, 1310 and 633. The city of Yuba, it is indeed accurate that they have a lower monthly water bill than Cal Water does. I won't deny that. These are facts. These are numbers. They include 15 CCF or 15 billing units in their service charge. Somebody who uses 13 units of water in a Cal Water service area, they're going to pay $39.36. In the city of Yuba, they're going to pay $19.39. However, that doesn't mean that their cost of service is lower than Cal Water's cost of service. It doesn't mean that they're complying with fewer environmental regulations. It doesn't mean that they're more efficient. It most likely means two things. One, they have more customers than we do. We have about 3,000 customers, 3,700 customers, excuse me, in the city of Marysville, whereas the city of Yuba has 18,000 customers, which means that there are more customers that can share the cost of operating that system on a day-to-day basis. More importantly than that, though, is the other revenue generators that other utilities have that Cal Water does not have. For example, to connect to the water system in the city of Yuba, you have to pay a water service installation charge of $3,600, a water connection charge of $7,000. You have to pay for your water meter in the amount of $311. Now, these costs don't show up on your monthly water bill. So if I show you two different water bills, one Cal Water, one city of Yuba, the monthly water bill from Cal Water is going to be higher. But you've got to look at the total cost of water service between those two different areas. And in this case, over the 10-year period, Cal Water, $4,700, the city of Yuba, $13,389. The city of Yuba also has a fair number of other costs that Cal Water and other revenue generators that Cal Water doesn't have. After-hour service, $99, a meter test deposit of $53, a meter removal fee of $111. The point is not to criticize the city of Yuba in any sense of the imagination. The point rather is to say that the city of Yuba in this instance is able to generate a substantial amount of revenue from things that Cal Water does not charge. If Cal Water is not charging for these services, if that is included in the monthly service charge that people pay to Cal Water, the cost of water service is the same or actually higher in the city of Yuba than it is for a Cal Water customer. When all things are included in the analysis and you take a fair representation of all the areas that are around the city of Marysville, where does Cal Water fall into the mix? A Cal Water customer currently has a bill of $39.36. LIRA, which I'll discuss in a second, it's a discount program that we have for families that are facing economic hardship. That customer using 13 CCF or 9,000 gallons of water has a monthly bill of about $29.14. We're about in the middle of the pack. The question then is, well, but you're increasing your rates over the next 3 years, you're going to be near the top. That's true if the rest of these utilities were to stay static and they were not to also adjust the rates over the next 3-year period, the next 5-year period, etc. The problem with that is they are. Cal Water is not the only one who faces increase in costs. The city of Yuba in 2011 conducted a water rate study. That study determined, this is a quote from the study, that said, the city is not generating enough revenue to cover its costs, to cover its debt obligations. Costs for providing safe, reliable water service are increasing. The city must increase its water rates to cover those charges. In 2011, the city council approved water rate increases of over 50% over the next 5 years. It's a little bit different than Cal Water. We have to operate within the guidelines set by the CPUC, which are that we have to file a rate case every 3 years. The city of Yuba decided to spread that over a 5-year period. It's about a 10% increase over that 5-year period. That consists of a quantity charge increase of... I've got the numbers here in front of me. The quantity charge increase was about 31.19%, and the service charge was an increase of 24.37%. Again, the reason? They had increased costs. If you looked at the Appeal Democrat on Monday, on the 25th, you would have seen a headline that says, Robbins facing water rate hike. Quote from the paper, a looming hike in water costs could reach Robbins. Water bills would go from $50 to $70. The reason? Costs are increasing. That's a 40% increase, not between over the course of 3 years. That's a 40% increase from September 1, when they're going to have their meeting, to January 1 of this year. They would face a 40% increase in their water rates. The reason there, again, they're facing increasing costs, and they've held their costs too low for a period of time. That's from the Public Works Director, from the City of Robbins, or I'm sorry, from the county, from Sutter County, that their rates have been too low for too long, and they're not meeting their debt obligations. The point is not to criticize these utilities for increasing their rates. The point is that all utilities, all water utilities, are facing increasing costs. The state of California just issued a guideline the other day on Friday, I'm sorry, last Thursday, for Chromium 6. Chromium 6, if you've seen the movie Aaron Brockovich, it's the jet fuel additive that the group of people sued PG&E over. There's concern about whether or not that's in the water. There's not a Chromium 6 issue in Marysville. I bring this up to say that we operate in a world that is ever-changing and increasingly expensive. When the Safe Drinking Water Act was originally passed in the 70s, we had to test and treat for 40 constituents. Today, we have to treat for over 170 different constituents. The costs go up when that happens. If we could keep rates at $20 and provide the same level of service and meet all of the environmental regulations that we have to, we certainly would. Unfortunately, if we were to do that, we would not be generating the revenue that we need to safely operate the system on a daily basis to make sure that there's adequate fire protection, to make sure that each and every one of our customers receives a safe, reliable water supply of water every single day. One other major thing that creates a difference between water rates of Cal Water and other utilities are some of the services that we provide. I mentioned this before. There's two that I want to highlight. The first is a low-income rate assistance program. What that program is qualified customers receive a discount of up to half of their service charge on a monthly basis. Those program guidelines are the same that the electric utilities have for their programs. I believe that PG&E's program is called CARE. This is a program that a fair number of residents in Marysville are already enrolled in, but this is something that we would love to partner with the school district on. We understand that there are families that are struggling with the economy. We would like to assist those customers and partner with the school district in better promoting this program to alert the families in the Marysville system of the availability of this program to make sure that they're taking advantage of those benefits that are due to them. The second is our conservation program. Cal Water has an industry-leading water conservation program, ranging from everything on rebates to high-efficiency toilets and urinals to conservation kits that get shipped to a customer cost-free that contain high-efficiency shower heads, sink aerators, et cetera, to help them reduce their water consumption. I'm pleased to tell you that Ken Jenkins, who's our conservation manager, actually met last week, I believe on Friday, with Michelle Keeley, the facilities director for the district, to examine what things Cal Water and the district can partner on by the end of this year to assist the district in better controlling its water use at each one of its facilities that are in our Marysville service area, and in turn, better control their water bills. Those details will be worked out with Michelle and Ken. Those things could be anything from rebates for irrigation controllers, smart irrigation controllers that track how much rain there's been to see whether or not the sprinklers actually need to go off, to high-efficiency sprinklers, to changing out some of the plumbing fixtures inside some of the facilities to take them from the old toilet that I saw in the bathroom when I went earlier, to one that's more high efficient and new, and frankly would reduce that cost of having to replace those facilities for the district for some point in time. I understand, Cal Water understands, that increased costs are never popular. We understand that the
There are people in our service area, there are people across the state, there are people in this room tonight that are struggling. At the same time, Cal Water has an obligation to each and every one of our customers to make sure that we are investing in our system and that we're able to provide them with a safe, reliable water supply day in and day out. I'd much rather be here talking to you tonight about needing to increase water rates over the next 3 years instead of being here tonight telling you that a child has died and trying to explain that because a water well was contaminated, one of our facilities broke down, someone got into an accident because there was a main leak. I'd much rather be here tonight talking about these things than I would be talking about those things. And again, I understand that nobody likes to pay more for anything. I certainly don't like it. I don't think who wants to pay more for their cable bill, their phone bill, et cetera? Nobody. We're committed to this community, and we have been for a long time. We've been here since 1930, and we look forward to continuing to work with the city, the residents in Marysville that have concerns about the rate increase, and the school board here tonight. And my job here is not actually to persuade you all not to vote for the resolution. We're enthused that you all are interested in this. We just wanted to make sure that you all had the facts before you voted on that resolution this evening. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Just one,
sure.
One statement. You brought up what we put in on Measure P.
Yes.
The citizens voted on Measure P.
Yes, sir.
That's the difference. You know, you're telling us this, and the citizens voted and said they wanted Measure P. They wanted us to spend the money. They wanted us to have the money. That's the difference.
Sure, absolutely agreed.
Right.
You know, it's a different
right.
model that investor-owned utility works under, that we have the Public Utilities Commission, the Division of Ratepayer Advocates, that advocates on behalf of residents to make sure mm-hmm. that, to not only make sure that our books are in order, but also to make sure that we're not doing a disservice to our customers in the sense that we're not investing in the system.
Well, I'm not saying your books are not in order or anything else. You just used our statement that we put out.
No, I understand.
On Measure P.
Agree.
To say, look what you've already done. But we let the citizens make a decision.
Absolutely,
on whether they wanted Measure P or not.
Understood.
Who makes the original recommendation of PUC on the rate increase?
And Cal Water reviews its historical costs. The infrastructure improvements that we believe need to be made in each one of our systems over the next 3-year period, Cal Water files that application to the Public Utilities Commission. We did that in July of last year. And then, so I guess you could say Cal Water is.
So Cal Water decides what the rate increase they feel that they need to cover the ongoing costs, and it goes through the process
yes.
after that.
Yes.
Okay, and then what kind of a company? Are you guys a stockholder company, sell shares, or?
Yes, we're traded on the New York Stock Exchange. Actually, well, Cal Water is the largest subsidiary of California Water Service Group. Cal Water is not traded on the New York Stock Exchange. California Water Service Group is the parent company. California Water Service Company is a subsidiary of California Water Service Group, which is traded on the New York Stock Exchange.
Do you know about how many shares you guys sell, or how many shares?
I don't know how many are outstanding.
Hey, do you know what your quarterly earnings were the last couple of quarters?
Yes.
Can you share that with
earnings
us?
Or revenue?
Earnings. Revenue.
Revenue.
No, I want your net earnings. Your
revenue.
Profits.
Revenue or earnings?
I want your net profits after all your expenses were paid. Okay.
In 2012, I'm sorry. Yes, it's still 2013. In 2012, our revenue was around $500 million. I believe that our net income was around 44. Those aren't exact numbers. I can certainly get you exact numbers.
Okay,
but those
are
close.
How big of an area do you guys take in throughout California? How many customers? How many counties? How many cities are you in?
We serve a customer base of 500,000 across California, 2 million a population of 2 million. We serve in over 100 cities across the state, from Chico in the north to the Palos Verdes Peninsula in the south.
Other questions?
I'd have to ask our conservation manager what the way that we, my guess is, I don't want to guess. Actually, I'm not sure about that. The The way that our conservation programs are promoted are based on water use in comparison to other users in the district, given that you have football fields and baseball fields and a lot of property. The district in total is a large user of water. My guess is that the district has received mailings in the past. Whether or not there has been a verbal communication with the district, I'm not sure of. I can check with our conservation manager.
However, all of these programs are on our website, and in all the mailings that came out with the bills, alerting people that these programs are available, they're detailed on the website and are accessible to anyone. No, I don't believe there was anything direct, but we didn't receive any direct inquiries from the school district either of what we may have available to help them.
Just to put it in perspective, okay, the less than 0.5% that you're talking about is $350,000, and that's 6 teachers to us.
Okay. I'm sorry, $350,000?
Right.
What number is that?
Of our budget, which is $75 million, more or less.
Right, and that isn't what the water bill was, so...
I'm just saying,
okay.
What you're saying is, it's only less than 0.5%, okay, but to us it's $350,000. Okay, the other thing, too, was you didn't deny that the statistics and percentages of profit and income that we have reviewed are correct. You didn't make any, you know, your shareholders did very well, I understand.
Yeah, our shareholders do well.
In a terrible economic time.
Well, truth be told, I mean, the stock market, other than today after things in Syria occurred, has been reaching records, so it's not as though Cal Water's stocks have far exceeded
other
people's.
It doesn't sound like that affected you at all since you set your prices.
Well, a couple of things in relation to our shareholders. This is really fundamentally indistinct from what the district does when it sells bonds, Measure H, Measure P. You have to pay an interest rate to the bondholders who purchase those bonds, otherwise they wouldn't buy those bonds. Why are they going to spend $100 today to purchase a bond if they're not going to make a return on that investment? In the same way our shareholders pay upfront to purchase a share from Cal Water, they receive a return on that investment. This is actually fundamentally important to not only the district but also Cal Water. If we do not have shareholders, if we are not able to attract investors, we are unable to generate the cash to make investments into the water system. The way that we're able to move that pipeline from underneath Highway 70 and 20 to a different location before we actually got an increase in water rates is because we have shareholders. If we don't have shareholders, if we're not providing a benefit to those folks, then we can't do those things. In the same way that if the district doesn't provide a reasonable interest rate on its bonds that it provides to its bondholders, then no one will buy those bonds.
You know, I'm just curious to know, $98,000 in water, are we like your biggest customer?
No, sir.
In Marysville?
Oh, in Marysville?
Yeah.
Maybe cumulatively,
yeah.
With all your sites.
And but tonight we're hearing about possible ways that you might be able to help us save money on this increase. And we are possibly your largest customer.
The question was, are we investigating those ways to save the district money?
I mean, you're talking about new sprinkler heads, toilets.
The early investigation that we've had with Michelle is very promising. There's a lot of programs that we have that she has explored early for your central irrigation control for all your districts that may be covered under our program. The sprinkler heads that you use at most of your facilities for your extensive irrigation may be covered under that program. There are a number of internal facilities that you have that
it looks very promising that they'll be covered under that program. So the capital expenditure that you were looking at in the budget that Michelle is working under could be markedly reduced by the effort that we're putting in with her right now. And you should receive a long-term reduction in water usage if we're successful in getting those sprinkler heads changed out for the facilities that use our water. It should pay for a long time, yes.
Your interest in us began...
Yeah, that's how I'm saying.
Well, no, you know, I think it's kind of unfair for you to say that. We've had these programs all along, and we have promoted the programs.
Let's do this. I'll figure out from our conservation manager what programs we did market to the district specifically. There are not all that many instances in which a phone call is made directly to a customer to say, hey, we've got this program, take advantage of it. Rather, we send direct mail pieces to our customers. I'll find out from our conservation manager what programs were marketed to the district and when those mailings went out. I can provide the board with...
Well, I think the point that I was trying to make is that we did promote the programs. We do have them available on our website. We didn't make a conscious effort to single out the school district when those programs were made available. As soon as we heard that the school district was concerned about their water usage and the cost of the water and what they could do to mitigate those expenses, that's when we took the initiative to bring our programs forward to make sure that they were aware of them and could take advantage of what we did have to offer. So it's no different than if a customer makes us aware that they have a high bill and they don't understand why. We take a particular interest in that customer to see if there is something that we can do to help them out that they haven't been able to discover on their own. You're a much bigger customer, but the program has always been there, and we always did promote it. We became particularly interested, though, as soon as we heard that the school district was concerned.
Let me ask two quick questions. Sure. With the rate increase just in Marysville alone, what do you expect in that to generate?
The revenue?
Yes.
I don't have that number in front of me.
You don't? Okay. And in infrastructure that you have to replace because of the 70-20, do you have any idea what that's going to cost you to replace?
Well, it's already occurred, $2 million.
How much?
$2
million. So the rate increased to $12.75 per month, and you said you have 3,700 users?
Correct.
That comes out to about $566,000.
It's somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't want to quote a number that's incorrect. I can get that information for you.
So you'd pay for the infrastructure with that in 4 years?
Okay. No, that's not accurate. The infrastructure doesn't get paid off in 4 years. Our shareholders pay the upfront cost of any of our infrastructure improvements. So if we build the improvements that we had to make because of Highway 70 and 20, those then get depreciated over the life of those improvements. Pipelines, I believe, are depreciated over a course of 50 years. So really it's 1/50th of the non-depreciated costs that are included in rates in 2014.
Okay, any other questions before we go on to these other comments?
For this?
Not that I recall. We've done a lot since I've been here in terms of water conservation, not only the grounds department but also the facilities department, but I don't remember receiving anything directly from Cal Water.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment on you know, comparison. He's right. You can't compare Marysville with Yuba City or Linda or Oliver, but what you can compare is the type of things to be done. In other words, Oliverst, I served on the board for many years out in Oliverst. We were able to put in new water tank and not raise the rates this much. We were able to put in new water lines on many of the streets and not have to raise rates this much. It seems to me that it's going over. It's overkill. I served many years on that board, and we have as many employees as you have, if not more. We have close to the same population in the older part of Oliverhurst, and yet we maintained everything where, like you pointed out, we're one of the lowest water rates in the area. And I can't figure out why you're raising the rate that much. It doesn't seem logical.
Is your question what all is included in the rate increase? Because we're not talking about a single water tank. We're not talking about
you're
a
right. But you compare we replace the water tank. Okay. Let's say water lines. You're talking about replacing the water line down the main street of Marysville, basically. We did that.
Well,
we didn't have to charge it much.
What was the size of the line that we put in?
We did 5,000 feet of 6 and 8 inch.
Yeah.
And it was 2 million because of the construction constraints that we had. So I think one of the bigger things, Justin addressed it during the presentation, it's very hard to compare utilities. Oliverhurst, for example, during the construction boom, you probably added, 3,000 homes out there during the construction boom?
But the main thing about that was that the money that we received from that area had to go into that area. We couldn't take funds from the new part of Oliverhurst and move into the old part of Oliverhurst. You can't do that.
Did you charge them different rates, or did you just start banking that money?
Same rates, but you can't move money from a new area into an old area. That money has to benefit.
There was no interconnection, is what you're saying, between the two systems?
I'm sorry?
There was no interconnection between the two systems, the old system and the new system? And so the operating costs were identical, I just don't understand how you could have the same rates in the old system and the new system, and there was a basis for establishing those rates as identical when there had to be cost differences.
The basis was, let me see if I can get this correct, the basis was, as anything else in California now, is who benefits, how do they benefit, how much do they benefit?
Well, then your rates couldn't have been established based on cost of service then.
No, it's based on benefit.
I think that the important point to make here is not to get into a debate whether or not the city of Yuba or Oliverhurst or Cal Water is more efficient, or whether or not we were able to put in this length of pipeline more efficiently than you were, and what was the increase in cost here and there. In your role, sitting on that board, you oversaw that process. And I could say the same, I could say the same thing to you. Well, I know about this one project that you all did that it was really expensive and Cal Water could have done it for cheaper. I think that the important point is that there was oversight in that situation. There's rigorous oversight of Cal Water to ensure that the costs in each are justified. To prevent me from saying to you and to you for saying to me that those costs are too much. I don't agree with those costs. I don't know why they have to be so much.
It was the same oversight. You got the same oversight that Yuba City has.
No, sir. We're regulated by the California Public Utilities Commission.
The state comes in, they look at it.
That's incorrect, sir. The California's. I guarantee. Did you go through an 18-month long review of your rates in any single year that you sat on the board?
What does that cost?
I'm sorry?
What does that cost? To go through this 18-month.
What is?
It's not a cost that he's.
It's not an issue of the cost. The point is that there's oversight to ensure that the costs are justified and reasonable.
We go through the same thing.
I concur.
We have to. Thank you.
That's the very point that I'm making. There's oversight agencies in both situations to make sure that the costs are justified and reasonable.
Right.
To prevent me from saying to you, your costs aren't justified and reasonable, and to prevent you from saying to me, your costs aren't justified and reasonable.
Okay.
Justin Lee, thank you very much. We're going to move on to some of these others, and then we can come back if... Okay, thank you. Okay, Marjorie Rollins.
Good evening, Dr. Todd and board members and district employees. And thank you for the work that you do for our students and our community. The water increases to the district budget will impact our students. There's approximately 3,000 students in the six sites within the city of Marysville. If the annual rate increases only $10,000, this would decrease the per pupil spending by $3.33 annually. As an investment property owner within this city of Marysville, it will become increasingly harder to obtain tenants. This obstacle to get and retain tenants will affect the district's ADA. Your vote to oppose the water rate increases proposed by the California Water Service in Marysville is greatly appreciated.
Okay, thank you, Marjorie. Mr. Simmons, Bill Simmons.
Good evening, Mr. President and honorable members of the Board of Trustees for Marysville Joint Unified School District. Some of the comments were made tonight, and I'd like to thank Justin and Cal Water for coming forth and being very candid. I think the marketing strategy they use is probably very beneficial. But, gentlemen, I don't see how that applies to what we're talking about in this resolution. We're talking about a water of $98,540 a year in the fiscal year 2012-13. If we apply a 34.9% rate increase for that 1 year, that comes to $34,390. Now we have a bill of $132,930. That came right off the web page. That came right out of the Marysville Joint Unified School District Accounting Department. And in comparison with OPUD, let's do some very basic comparisons here, if we will, because I think you can compare usage. Marysville has one high school, one junior high school, three elementary schools, and one charter school that they service under Cal Water in the city of Marysville. OPUD has one high school, one junior high school, and four elementary schools they service under OPUD. Now, here's what I don't understand. I do understand, but maybe I can explain it to you the way I understand it. That comes to $132,930 for Marysville schools supported by your budget. OPUD's budget is $60,621.15. You're right, sir. You're right. Why is there a difference? The difference is they have what they call an ORI, a rate on investment, which is guaranteed by the Public Utilities Commission. And I think our friends from Cal Water asked for, they were at 10%. They asked for 11% rate increase in the ROI. And the activists that support our interest, ours being the ratepayers in the California Public Utilities Commission, says, no, Cal Water will give you a 9-point-some-percent increase. Well, they're paying off, guess what they're paying? They're paying their stockholders. You guys don't do that. Municipal water agencies don't have to pay stockholders. That's one of the reasons why they can do that. And you're not fixed on an ROI guaranteeing you a 9-point-some-percent increase if your bottom line falls below a certain percentage. Our private businesses don't get that. But why do municipal services get that benefit? Because the California Public Utilities Commission, through the infinite wisdom of the California Constitution, granted the California Public Utilities Commission the complete control of that process, and hopefully that's up for review. But those are just some of the ideas I like to bring forth, you guys, and this resolution that's before you. I ask for a unanimous vote of consent to oppose this water rate for the citizens and mainly for your students, so you can take this money that goes in your general fund and perhaps buy some school books, maybe hire another teacher, and do some of the things that you guys and the superintendent fight for every day of your life for the students in this district. And that's what I'm standing here for. It's not about Bill Simmons. It's about what's fair to this district. And I think that was 61% of your students are on free lunches. Well, the rent payer, if they're renting a house, they're going to have to pay that water bill because that owner's not going to pay it. And that affects their ability to what? To go to school. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Unanimous vote.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Simmons. Chris Pettigo.
Thank you for the board allowing me to speak. Chris Pettigo, citizen of Marysville. I come before you tonight urging you to support this resolution. These water increases will affect every citizen, ratepayer, or otherwise. They'll affect the school kids. You will have to reduce services. You'll be paying more in cost. The city will suffer. The citizens will suffer. It's completely unreasonable to ask for such a rate increase. The citizens of this city are voicing their opposition to this rate increase. It will affect every one of us. And I urge you to support this resolution. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Pettigo. Michael Selvage.
Hi, I'm Mike Selvage, and I also thank you for letting me appear here tonight. You know, prior to my retirement, I owned and operated my own for-profit enterprises. I was a businessman. Anytime I wanted to expand, do anything else, I would have to set money aside for the expansion. Money came out of my pocket. I budgeted for it. It did my expansions. I'm really bothered with the fact that we're being asked to pay for a waterline relocation in perpetuity. You know, there's no cutoff time on this. You know, from now on, we, the citizens here in Marysville, will be paying for this. To me, it's just blatantly unfair. When I see their presentation, $39 a month, I'd be tickled if my bill was $39 a month. You know, I have a Victorian home, 24 foot by 8 foot yard. My bill runs me in the neighborhood of no less than $100 a month. My wife and I, we wash clothes once a week. Where it goes, I don't know. But tonight I kind of wanted to appeal to you and the jobs that you do. Because the city of Marysville, we're on hard times. We have citizens who are having a tough time making a go of things. We have families who both parents work, trying to raise children, send the children and things to school. When rates and things go up, money comes out of their budgets, and usually the first thing that suffers is food. You are all well aware that children that go to school hungry fall way behind a learning curve. So I appeal to you at the jobs that you do. You know, we need to do all that we can to stop this. You know, I can understand how shareholders should be able to make some profit, but to me, this is on the rate of Michael Milken. This is just insane, the amount of profit that's coming out of here, that's coming out of our pockets. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Selvage. Connie Walczak? No? Okay, any other questions, comments? Anybody?
If I could just respond to two things real quick. By the way, someone left their pen up here. Okay, fair enough. Okay. One other difference between Cal Water and other utilities is the Public Utilities Commission doesn't allow us to have any type of reserve fund or general fund. So the question came up: why didn't we save money for the Caltrans project? The Public Utilities Commission says you can't do that. The reason being is that if you're collecting money every month, that you're just putting into a bank or into an account. It means that you're functionally overcharging your customers. You're not providing that. That's not the cost of service at that present time. So if we do overcollect, let's say that if the amount of revenue that CalWater collects this year substantially increases because there's a substantial increase in the amount of water that's used, CalWater has to issue a refund to our customers because we have a cap that is set for our rate of return. It is accurate that the California Public Utilities Commission determines what our rate of return is. Now, what the rate of return is the amount of money that CalWater and our shareholders can earn on the investments that it makes into infrastructure. That's a cap. It's not a baseline. If our costs exceed what is authorized by the California Public Utilities Commission, that erodes into any of that return on our investment, and it could be reduced to zero if we don't control our costs. Likewise, those are the two things that I wanted to make sure that were clear, is that our shareholders are not guaranteed profits. We can't just say, oh, we're going to buy everybody in our general office Ferraris, and then we're going to make the ratepayers pay for that, and we have a guaranteed profit to our shareholders. That's not at all the way that it works. The rate of return is a cap. It's not a baseline. We can't have a reserve fund. And if our costs are substantially lower than what we project that they're going to be, a refund is issued to the customers. I'm sorry? I'm sorry, 50% pay increase?
50% rate increase.
What do you mean by encouraged? We're required by the California Public Utilities Commission to file a general rate case every 3 years. The original application is CalWater's projections of the capital infrastructure that is needed to be replaced, our costs of operating the system on a daily basis, and those are those two things. Those are then submitted to the California Public Utilities Commission. As I said during the presentation, that was about 15,000 pages of justifications across the company. For that increase, that is then reviewed by the Division of Ratepayer Advocates, who makes its own recommendation to the administrative law judge that oversees the proceeding. There are then evidentiary hearings on all those matters, the differences between what we believe the rate should be versus what the Division of Ratepayer Advocates should be. The administrative law judge, after those evidentiary hearings, makes his own recommendation to the commissioners, who are appointed by the governor. And then they vote up or down. It's a majority vote of whether or not to accept that proposal from the administrative law judge, reject it, or adopt some other proposal that they come up with on their own.
Hi, my name's Connie Walczak. I don't really have a lot to say tonight except for I do hope you pass this resolution. I think it's really a statement that's being made. It should be made by every public office here in town. But one of the things that was really disturbing is when Eric Vaden did an article a few weeks ago, and CalWater said that CPUC or CalWater, I think they said it was CPUC, will not let them take the economy or the economic situation of a city into mind when they ask for increases. It's hard to believe that we live in America and that there's some kind of a state government agency that doesn't allow anybody to look into these the economic situation in a city. Marysville's struggling. I mean, there is no doubt. The city's struggling, the government's struggling, the citizens are all struggling. The businesses are gone almost. And so I think that's pretty sad to think, if that is really the case, that nobody can look at the economic situation. They can just keep going after raises, after raises, after raises. And then also, one of the things, as a school district, you have a deferred maintenance plan. True? Okay, so you do a deferred maintenance plan. You do a year out, 2 year out, 3 year out, 5 year out, even a 10 year out. So you are setting aside money for large projects. And that's also kind of sad if that's the case, that they cannot set aside money. Because what that means is, if there is something like the Caltrans project or their new building or whatever you want to have it called, if there's some large project that comes up, they're going to go after an immediate rate increase again. So, because there's no money that's set aside to take care of any of those things. And if, again, if that is the case that CPUC doesn't allow a carryover, then shame on them. But shame on us for allowing it, because that's a state agency that's allowing that. And then one other thing I want to mention is you've talked a lot about OPU, Oliver's Public Utility District. The thing with a municipal district like Yuba City or the other ones, they can get no interest or low interest loans, and they can also get grants. Most private water companies can't or don't. I've been told that they are eligible, but I've also read that they can't. So when you have a municipal water district, such as Oliver's and Linda, they can apply for those, and so it helps keep the rates down because there's a lot of grant money, especially for economically struggling cities. There's a lot of money out there. So that would really benefit Marysville if it ever got to that point. But what I'm trying to say is they don't apply for it, or they can't, so therefore we don't get the benefits of that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
I was interested in your comment there, like in America, that we have agencies like that, like the NSA, the IRS, you know, State Department. Okay, so we have a few agencies like that.
I just, before the board takes action on this resolution, wanted to point out that we did make one correction on the application date. Changed it from July 5th of 2013 to July 5th, 2012, when the California Water Service Company filed for the general rate increase with their application.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Todd. Any other questions or comments? No other questions or comments. Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion with a revised
motion to approve or not approve. Or to motion.
I'm sorry.
Motion to approve.
I'm sorry. To reject this.
To reject it? Are you in agreement with this?
I am in agreement.
And you're voting to support the...
Oh, wait, I don't want to support this.
This is... The
Which one are we doing? This one here, right?
Yes. The resolution before you is for the Board of Trustees to oppose the water rate increase. The only change and the only revision is the date that was listed on the original resolution of their date of submission of their application. So
the motion is made to oppose, to go with this.
To oppose the
right.
To approve,
to oppose the
resolution, the
rate increase.
Oppose the
right.
Rate increase. Okay. So a motion by Mr. Dannable to approve the resolution, seconded by Mr. Fleury. And all those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes, so it passes unanimously. And that's the last item on the agenda. Oh, I'm sorry, we're going to close. Mr. Fleury would like to close the meeting in honor of Bud Larson, I believe.
Recently we had a very prominent member, former member of our school district, pass away, and they held a funeral last Saturday. Leonard Edward Larson was the former principal of Linda, Alicia, and Cedar Lane. He began in our district in 1955. He was assistant superintendent when we unified in 1966, was the personnel director until his retirement. He was a member of many, many civic organizations, and including the Linda Lions Club, and he was my sponsor in the Lions Club. We lost a tremendous educator. And he did a lot of service to this district over the years.
I'd also like to add, when I went to Alicia School, he was a science teacher at Alicia School, and he was very gentle, very big, boisterous person. And I learned, that was one of the few classes I did learn a lot in. Also, he was instrumental in The Yuba Center, what is it? Oh, anyway, he got pheasant hunting started for the youth in the area out in Sutter County, and he was very instrumental in that. And he was a great person, and he was great to be around. So I concur with Mr. Fleury.
Okay, meeting's adjourned.